It is so good to be back in my own home church. And last time I was here with the family was 3.5 years ago. Danielle was just a little baby at the time. So this is her first time to really get to know the USA and to be in our own home church. And this is exciting. What an awesome mission service tonight. Wow. God is so good. God's so good. He gave his only begotten son. Missions is all about giving. Giving what God gave back to us. He gave us salvation, and we get the privilege of taking that precious seed. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is the precious seed. But first of all, I'd like to say a big thank you from my parents, Tom and Linda Gilmer. They've been through it recently. My mother fell down at our congregation and broke her femur. My father fell down and broke his nose, and I was talking to my brother, and seeing their age and all that's going on at this point, we are really seriously considering wrapping them up in bubble wrap and see if that helps them from not falling down and getting hurt so much. But they want to say a big thanks to the church. Thank you, Pastor, for stepping up in this time with them and really helping them out. But first of all, I would like to show some pictures of our ministry, and then we'll step into the Word. So it's so good to have my wife, Lydian Rafael. His name comes from my Ralph, but his mother's Brazilian, so Rafael has an H sound, and Danielle, and we are missionaries in São Paulo, Brazil. São Paulo is one of the largest cities in the world, a city of diversity. The picture at the bottom is the picture that you see from our congregation. We are involved in Bible publication and teen church planting. Our ministry revolves around God's seed. We have the God's Word, which is the seed, and we sow the seed. We see people coming to know the Lord, and then you grow that seed. But first of all, Bible publication. By God's grace, we published the most faithful edition of the Portuguese Bible, the Almeida Corrigida Fiel, ACF text. The story of our Bible ministry begins with Mary Jones, that little girl who desired her own copy of the Bible. And her story eventually led to the start of the Trinitarian Bible Society in London in 1831. It was so great to see the group from London. I do enjoy my fish and chips. No peas, please. My parents, Tom and Linda Gilmer, helped start the Sociedade Bíblica Trinitariana do Brasil, SBTB, in 1968. SBTB just celebrated its 50th anniversary with a clear mission: a copy of the faithful Bible for every person. Pastor mentioned that last year we distributed 200,000 Bibles. You'll be happy to hear that this year we're doing over 1 million complete copies of God's Word. Today I serve as the Executive Secretary of SBTB, along with my wife Lydian, who serves as proofreader. We met there, and I married the secretary. Hafa and Dunny are growing to love this ministry. They love going to Daddy's office. Everything that we produce is bearing in mind who will be using that Bible, with a thought, this is my Bible. Thanks to special partnerships, millions of copies of the Portuguese scriptures are distributed yearly. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. We're also involved in teen church planting. We are sowing the seed which shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. By starting churches in a team effort, we are able to share the load and work more effectively. The first church we helped start in a team effort was New Life Baptist Church, which began in a home. We also were instrumental in starting Igreja Batista Bíblica in Paraisópolis, São Paulo's largest community. 2 years ago, we began a congregation from our first church in Vila Guacuri, a very needy part of São Paulo. 15 years ago, if you would ask a taxi driver to take you to this point, it's between São Paulo and Diadema, they would not take you there. It's a very needy area. My father's church gave us a piece of land just a block and a half away from this house. This house is a very strategic location. As you go into the neighborhood, there's a fork in the road. And the house is located right there. If you go in or out of the neighborhood, you see this house. We rented this house. In the very first service, a lady came, Siva, and she asked us, do you know what this house used to be? We said, no. She said, this used to be a spiritist center. They used to do animal sacrifices here. Every week, somebody comes by. and says, you know, we were praying for a church to be started in this very location. So tonight, by God's grace, where animal sacrifices were once done, today the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. Through the generosity of God's people, the garage of the house was transformed into a beautiful auditorium. Our neighborhood is bubbling with children, and our Lord said, let little children come unto me. This year we celebrated the second anniversary of our new congregation with our first baptismal service. We already took on our first missionaries who are preparing to go from Brazil to Venezuela. Pray for Venezuela. These are the faces of why we do what we do. We earnestly covet your prayers both for us and for them. This is such a needy area. This, it seems like every family in the church is somehow affected by drugs or affected by alcohol, without exception. We are fighting hell by the inch. It's a very dangerous, very needy area, and that's why we're there. So do pray for us as we sow the precious seed in this neighborhood. Now, if you would, please open the scriptures to Luke chapter 8, a very familiar passage of scripture. For the sake of time, we are only going to read verses 11 through 15. And if we could please stand in reverence for God's word. Luke chapter 8, starting verse 11 through 15. You know the parable, this is the meaning. And it goes like this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Father, thank you for your word. Please guide our time together now, if we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know this story, you know this parable, the parable of the sower, and here the Lord Jesus gives the explanation to his disciples, and he says, the seed is the word of God. We can wrap up a Bible ministry around this passage, where it clearly shows us all the steps of a Bible ministry. First of all, we need faithful translations. I praise the Lord for my cousin, Dr. Bill Patterson. My children know him as Uncle Billy. He has such a ministry of translating God's word. He helps us even in the Portuguese. I mean, he knows eight languages, so he needs to, you know, he can help us in the Portuguese as well. I mean, he knows Greek, he knows Hebrew. We need to have faithful translations of God's word. But once you have that translation, you need to do something with it. You need to sow the seed. So you sow the seed, you have portions, you have complete Bibles. And then that seed falls into ground. There is germination. It starts to grow. And then people want their own Bibles. And as they grow, they want, you know, their age is no longer the same. Their eyesight also is not the same. So they want Bibles for themselves that they can read. So you have to produce Bibles for every age group. And then these people go and they start sowing God's word as well. It's just a complete ministry. And also you have church planting, because once somebody comes to know the Lord, I tell people, you know, our Bible ministry is not a church. We don't baptize. You know, we do have a huge water tank. It's 15,000 liters. So, well, people will drown in there if we try to baptize them. That's why we have the church, because in the church is where people are really going to hear God's word and grow. And so we have a complete ministry. But first of all, God's word is the seed we need to have a faithful translation so that people can hear God's word. But then he goes on in verse 12 and he says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. These are people like Joe. Who's Joe? Joe's a hippie that lives on my street. If you walk down to the red light, there's Joe. He's barefoot. He has long hair. He has playing guitar, does drugs. I gave a copy of the New Testament to Joe once. And he said, you gave me one already. I left it in the bench over here and somebody took it. I said, well, great. No, here's another one for you. And he said, no. He said, that's full of the words of men. Well, I was able to show our New Testament. We have a little seal in the front. This is a faithful word. And I said, well, this is a faithful translation. And he said, but it's full of words. And how am I going to read? And he started going to this crazy thing about words. So he did not accept the New Testament. What did I do? I got a wordless book. So I took Joe a wordless book and I told him the story. And when I gave him the wordless book, he said, no, give it to your son. His problem is not with the written word, his problem is with the living word. I'm still being salt and light in Joe's life. But Joe doesn't discourage me from keep on sowing God's word. We need to keep on sowing God's word. In verse 13, it says, they in the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. There are people in São Paulo, when I give them a copy of God's word, they start crying. One of these ladies was at a red light. I gave her a copy of God's word. She started weeping. She said, I was looking for a copy of God's word. She said, I was so desperate, I was looking in the trash to see if somebody had thrown a copy of the Bible away. She started weeping and walked away. Yes, they are those who will receive God's word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And likewise, and they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. In both of these cases, there is new birth. Something happened there. It started to grow. There was germination. The seed was sown. It fell to ground. It started to grow. Something happened there. It began to grow. There was new life. But we see in both of these cases, they did not bring forth fruit to perfection. The first one, it says about temptation. And we read in 1 John chapter 2, we're tempted in three areas: lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That's covetousness, that's greed, that's arrogancy. We're tempted in these three areas. In the second place, it says about the cares of this world, riches and pleasures, and these bring no fruit to perfection. Let me just meddle a little bit around here. Who is this really talking about? Who are those which receive the word, start to grow, but they have no root, and all of a sudden, when temptation comes, they fall away? Who are these which receive the word and start growing in our churches, but then all of a sudden, with the cares of this world and the riches and all of that, they end up falling away? These are no other than our children, our young people. Yes, they hear the word. They're saved in Sunday school. They're faithful while they're in their mommy and daddy's home. But all of a sudden, they start growing up, getting into high school, getting into college, and temptation comes along. And sin is pleasurable. If it weren't, people wouldn't fall so much into it. And all of a sudden, they find themselves yielding to temptation and fall away. What about the cares of this life? You know, that water that comes through the faucet isn't free. And all of a sudden, a kid starts to grow up and pay bills, and all of a sudden sees that life is hard work. And you're like that lady, the nurse. I was with my father while he did his nose surgery. The nurse came in, and my dad started witnessing to her, and she said, I grew up in church. And my father said, well, which church? And she mentioned, are you going? She said, no, my parents still go, but I don't. So I'm working two jobs, and I'm studying at night college, so I just don't have time for the Lord. These are young people. There is hope for this. If you look in Isaiah 55, verse 15, it says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. If you go to Isaiah 55, we're going to see two more passages tonight, but first of all, in Isaiah 55, I want to show you something that's very awesome. We always think of God's word as being the seed, but here in Isaiah 55, it shows us something different. No, we're looking up at all these passages. I could just have Dr. Barber stay next to him. He could have just quoted these to us. Love you, Dr. Barber. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Verse 10, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth. Here, God is comparing his word to water. Our passage compares God's word to the seed, and here he is comparing his word to the water that comes and makes that word, that seed, not come back void. Here we see the sufficiency of God's word. God's word is the seed, but it is also the water that is going to make that seed germinate, grow, and bear forth fruit. If a person comes to know the Lord, where is he going to grow? Is it going to be at Saturday night at a party, or is it going to be Sunday morning in Sunday school hearing God's word? Is it going to be waking up in the morning or going at night and just sitting down in front of the television or social media and just spending his time there? Or is he going to be seeking out God's word and reading it for himself? Which of those seeds is going to grow? The one that stays by the water. God's word is the water that makes that seed germinate and grow and bear forth fruit. We need to stay in the book. Young people, we need to stay in the word. I want to show you one more passage. This is for the young people. It's a testimony. If you go with me to Psalm 37, very familiar passage as well. Psalm 37. Verses 3 and 4. You know, sometimes when you're a kid or a young person, you think of trusting the Lord and doing God's will, and it looks like a monster. But look what the Lord says. Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When I first started college, a Pensacola Christian, I wanted to make money. I began studying accounting. I had a friend whose dad was an accountant, and he made money. So I said, well, I'll put two and two together. I'll make money by being an accountant. I began accounting, and I realized that that was the wrong reason to be studying, just to make money. So I switched over my second year to graphic design, something that I enjoyed, and it seems like we have an accounting major up here.
I was my first semester, and then I realized that I wasn't the right
thing. Well, makes two of us. I switched over to graphic design, something that I enjoyed, and when I started my course, I just handed it over to the Lord. At that point, I still wanted to go back to Brazil. You know, I didn't like the fundraising part of being a missionary. I didn't want to go into missions. I wanted to go into politics. I would have done fundraising like you never imagined. Or at least I didn't. But that Christmas, my sophomore year, I stayed with my sister, Ruth. And my brother-in-law, Nut, in his own words, he's a nut. But he taught me how to meditate, how to read, how to memorize, how to practice God's word. He discipled me in God's word. And I began reading God's word for myself. It was my sophomore year when there in Pensacola, Pastor Rick Flanders preached about doing God's will. So I went back to my room. I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. But the second day he talked about the prophet Balaam, who was insane for not doing the will of God. Well, I went back and I surrendered to be a missionary. You see, there was something in the back of my mind. When I was 14, I saw this scene that really impacted me. It was in Cambodia. This Buddhist monk and his assistant, in this ritual, they literally sliced their tongues off and licked some pieces of paper with Chinese writing and handed them out to the people to scare away the evil spirits. It was like the devil's Passover. That image was in the back of my mind. I kept trying to put that image out. Even when I started college to make money, that image was in the back of my mind. Finally, I surrendered. I thought I was going to go to Cambodia, and I surrendered to be a missionary. You know what? That burden that I had in the back of my mind that I kept trying to put away all of a sudden became a desire. I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to go to Cambodia. Three times I was offered a full paid passage trip to Cambodia, but the three times the Lord closed the door. I read this passage here, Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. When I was getting ready to go back to Brazil for a one-year internship with my father, I wanted to go work with him, say thank you for all he'd invested in me. It's going to be just a one-year internship in Brazil. But when I got to Brazil, it was just a glove fit. I was getting ready to go. I had two or three churches that were supporting me. I was just wondering, how am I going to survive? But I just read this passage, and it was such a comfort to my heart. Trust in the Lord and do good. So I went to Brazil with that comfort. I just had to trust the Lord and do good, and he would take care of the rest. When I got to Brazil, I began volunteering at the Trinitarian Bible Society of Brazil, and it was just a glove fit. I studied graphic design and advertising. And one of the very first trips out with my dad, we went to a design bureau. They were trying to come up with a reference Bible. They had been 6 years working on this project and had not concluded it. My dad said, I want to take you with me. He said, if you can talk to these people, I will never again set foot in here. I got there. They showed what they were doing. I told them what they had to change. They accepted it. When we stepped in the car, my dad said, I will never again set foot in here. And he hasn't. It was a glove fit. After 1 year, I had to make a decision if I was going to stay in Brazil or go to Cambodia. I talked to my parents. We prayed for an entire month, and then went to talk to a Brazilian pastor. And I told him, what are people going to think? Here I said I was going to go to Cambodia. Now I stay in Brazil. What are they going to think? He looked at me and said, Harold, don't be afraid of what people are going to think. Deep down inside, you know what God wants you to do. When he said that, I knew I should stay in Brazil. You know that burden for Cambodia? The Lord replaced that with the love for Brazil, my country. Why do you say my country? I was born there. I was raised there. When I was four, my mom would talk to me in English. I would reply in Portuguese. Don't speak to me in English. Speak to me in Portuguese. I'm not an American. I'm a Brazilian. My wife is Brazilian. It was that very month that I made a decision to stay in Brazil, that I asked Lydian to date me, and it was that first month that we began, that month I made the decision to stay in Brazil, that we started services in what became our first church that you saw the picture tonight. But he says here, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. First, God changed the desiring of my heart. And when I was 43 years ago, it dawned on me that several things that I had desired, the Lord had granted. First of all, I wanted Lydian to be my wife. The Lord granted that. I wanted an apartment for my wife. There's this interesting word, Bill, you'll like this. In Portuguese, the word casa is the word house, and it's also the verb to get married. Casa. There's a saying, quem casa quer casa. Who gets married wants a house. I wanted an apartment for my wife, my future wife. My dad called me up, and he said, Harold, would you like to buy an apartment? You see, my brother's church that he had served at for 9 years, they had bought a little apartment for a pastoral house, but when the pastor came in, it was too far from him, so they needed to buy something closer. My dad called me and said, Harold, do you want to buy an apartment? I said, Dad, is it to help the church? He said, do you want to buy an apartment? I said, is it to help the church? He said, do you want to buy an apartment? I said, is it to help the church? He got upset and said, yes, it's to help the church. I said, well, good, I also want to help the church. He was able to give me a loan. He bought the little apartment. We wanted a reliable car. We had a little Fiat Uno. It was a box on wheels. The car broke down so many times. When it came time to finally sell it, I was showing the missionary, you know, where the car had broken down. He said, it broke down here, and it broke down here. He looked at me and said, do you want to sell the car? And I said, yes, I do. The Lord provided us with a reliable car. I wanted the position that I have at the Bible Society. It took 10 years and reached that position. I wanted Raphael, a little boy, and I wanted Danielle, a little girl. And the Lord granted both of those things, both of those treasures. When I was 40, I sat down and I realized everything that I had desired, the Lord had given. And I said, Lord, I don't want to tempt you. I don't want to start desiring for a Mercedes. I don't want to tempt you. I said, Lord, I would like to switch the equation. From now on, for the rest of my life, all I want is to fulfill the desire of your heart. I realize that my life is in the Lord's hands. And when I wake up in the morning, I say, Lord, this day, what would you have me to do? Our life is literally in his hands. And Paul said for the Christian to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. We have today, we have the present. That's all that we have. So my question is, Lord, what would you have me to do? I want to leave you with this question, and Pastor will come up now. The only question that I leave is for you to ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? Let's close our eyes. Pastor will come.